Anyway, so with all this said and in mind, I thought today I'd give a little advice, and it's kind of, I made it look like the sermon, but it's not really the sermon. The sermon's going to come after this, but we have been studying, and Matt has alluded to the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. When the Old Covenant was around, Israel didn't follow that as a nation, and God kept sending them prophets. And the prophets would send warnings to them. But in those warnings, he would say, even though that you are going to be carried into captivity, I promise one day I will send a King of Kings. And all these prophecies about a future eternal kingdom and a king that would be on the throne forever, leading up to Jesus Christ. But a lot of times in those prophecies, there was an immediate fulfillment at the time and then a future fulfillment in Jesus, okay? And so that's what this sermon is. At the beginning, there's the immediate fulfillment, but I'm going to give you the future fulfillment. So I want to start by giving some of just homespun advice that came directly from my mind here, all right, on making the most of holidays. And we could go around, and I encourage you to say, how am I going to make the most of holidays? Holidays seem to become a very busy time. They've become a very stressful time. They've become a very expensive time. And sometimes, you know, we're just flying everywhere to see everyone because we don't want anyone mad. So here it is. Here's three pieces of advice, and you can fill in the blank. Ready? Number one, spend more time with family and less money at Walmart. Okay? That's number one. We always say that. We all know that. And our favorite memories always go back to people. Okay? Listen, how many worry about spending the exact same amount on, oh gosh, we're just going to have counseling there. Don't worry about it. Spend a nickel more and make them wonder if they love you more than the other one. It's a fun thing, you know? They're going to think that anyway. So number one, make sure you spend time with family and less money at Walmart or Target or any other French stores. Okay, number two, this is big. Rejoice in the meaning of the holiday while resisting the cultural distortion. One of the things that happened a couple years ago, and they finally did it, you guys know that Thanksgiving is usually the least marketed holiday. Do you realize that? I mean, we started getting Halloween in August, and soon before Halloween was all over, you know, they started marketing for Christmas. But did anybody ever notice that Thanksgiving usually, there's not a huge market for that? Now, they might sell some fall decorations and things like that, but what is really Thanksgiving becoming about in America? Black Friday, yeah, Black Friday. Remember now they even, now they've changed it a little bit. A lot of you are trying to help me out. They changed it to now stores are even open on Thursday afternoon. And we've lost that because Thanksgiving basically is supposed to be a time set aside by what president? Lincoln, very good. Abraham Lincoln set aside for a day for the nation to thank God for the blessings, and we've turned it into, now families fall into two categories for Thanksgiving. Did you know that? There's either the shopping family or football family. Very good, okay? And so now we can have it both ways on Thanksgiving when we're supposed to gather the family together. Now I can make you a turkey sandwich while you wait in line and I get to see the kickoff of the game, okay? So, it's being distorted, and we could talk all day long about how Christmas is distorted and how people don't even realize, you know, what it's supposed to be about in that. So the encouragement that I have for you, especially grandparents, parents, you got young kids, make sure that you teach them what the meaning of the holiday is, what it is all about, because we have to resist the culture pulling us in a different direction, okay? And then number three, took a while to find this one, but ready? Celebrate the gift of today instead of longing for tomorrow or lingering over yesterday. Many times, I mean, all of us remember Christmas traditions we had, our Christmases when we were a kid. Ours was pretty much the same, like every year, one of the big events of Christmas every year in my household was my grandpa and grandma from California driving an RV back and spending about a month with us. And we knew that the gifts were in the top bunk. We knew where they were, and we would try to figure out how to get up there. And, oh, I'll go get that from the camper for you. All these volunteer efforts. But it's a great memory. And, you know, sometimes we can have these memories of Christmas past, and we miss Christmas today because we're lingering over yesterday. We can thank God we had those memories. And maybe sometimes it's, I didn't have great Christmases when I was a kid, and Christmas makes you sad, or you think about people who aren't here, and we linger over that. Or we could do the opposite. Man, I can't wait till this busy season of mine is over, and the kids are settled, and, you know, in my case, I can't wait, you know, in the next 10 years, you know, that I'll be there, my sons will be there, and their wives, and all their kids, all 14 kids, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know. And we can begin to long for our long for the future. But I just want to encourage you to enjoy this year where you're at. And there's seasons of life. There's seasons when you're the little kid. There's a season when you're the young adult. There's a season when you're the young parent. There's a season the kids are older and it's hard. You know, we had to really, I mean, if we were going to keep the whole Santa Claus thing going in our house, I was going to have to produce a corpse by the time the kids quit believing. I worked hard on that one. And some of you think I'm a sinner before that, but that's okay. Jesus loves me. And sometimes you can think, oh, man, it was more fun when, or it'll be more fun when. But I just want to encourage you today, enjoy this moment that you have, whatever stage you're in, because it's an awesome stage, right? So that's kind of some advice. Now, when I was doing all that, it was to lead to this. That's some real, I think, solid advice. And you know why I think it's solid advice? Because I gave it. Okay, so, but I think it's something for us to think about. Remember the people. Remember the meaning of the holiday. And remember to enjoy this moment you have this year, wherever you're at. Good or bad in the past, good or bad hopes for the future, worries about that. Don't let that run today. Okay? Because it's going to be different, and next year to be different, and next year to be different, and that's okay. That's a simple thing called life. That's what it's like. But when I was thinking about all these things, it made me begin to think a little bit about the church. And I kind of want to apply these three things, and it is not going to be, listen, today isn't one of those deep theological things, but my prayer is today that we would all just stop for a moment. Because it's a habit to come here. It's a habit to do the things that we do. And sometimes we do those things and we go through it and we're thinking, okay, he's done with this introduction. He's got a few points and then I'm going to be able to get home and I'm going to get to do these things. So what I want to do right now, I want to pray because I want to talk very seriously about the things we should value as a church. Because the things we should value as a church kind of are like the things we should value and make the holidays great. Okay, so let's stop. And listen, I want everybody just to pray that God would speak. Just ask God to speak to me today. Not evaluate a sermon, not wonder what passage it is, not wonder where he's going, not hoping someone else hears this. But let's just stop and ask God to speak to each one of us. Father, I thank you for today. Father, I thank you we live in a country that has a holiday that we stop and we give you thanks for blessing us. Father, I pray today that you allow us to, even in this season, to remind people of the foundation of this holiday. Father, but as a church right now, I just pray that you would just, for the next few minutes, Father, let us think seriously about the things that we value here within this body. Father, that we would know that we have to put first things first. Father, and that we not be sidetracked in that. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as we go through this, and as I was looking at this, I begin to think about the church, and sometimes I just wonder, it would be great to have that person from the first century who gave up everything in their life, who sacrificed and maybe had people die so that they could just claim Jesus as their Savior. And I wonder if they walked into what has become of the church today, if they'd even recognize it. Because when we think church, most of us think what? Of a building. And when we say church, most of us think of a church gathering. We think of this present setting here where we have nice straight rows, one guy up front, kind of the spotlight on him. And we sit here and we go through a few songs that we like or don't like or that we understand or we don't understand. We have a communion meditation. They take up the offering. They try to make us think the offering isn't about the light bill. But, you know, those type of things. Yeah, you know. I mean, and then we hear the sermon. We hope he has a couple good jokes or something I can understand or something that's relevant to my life. And we begin to think about when the church is much, much more than that. Now, the church, and here's the three things that I kind of want. Number one thing that we need to do as a church body, okay, is value people. We need to value people. Our church, much like everything that's built around our holidays right now, you know, we have all these things. We don't have to go out and get a tree. I bet there are people that just get new decorations every year. Everything's thrown away, you know. And you know, we are blessed so much with things that they've almost become a curse. And I believe the more things you have, the bigger the temptation is to overvalue the things you have. Does that make sense? When you get more and more things, you'd think the more things you have, the less value they'd all have. But the fact is, the more that we have tends to tempt us to overvalue what we have. And the church of Jesus Christ has exploded. The church has more money worldwide than probably any other organization, if you count all types of faith. We have more resources. We have bigger memberships. You know, we have so much, it's exploded. You know, right now, preachers don't even have to think of their own sermons. You can just find anything you want on the internet and preach it, okay? You can even find greater and more biblical sound teaching at a snap of a finger today. So we have all this stuff today. And so because we have all these things, because God has blessed us with a great building and all these things and a sound system, even a new microphone that won't crack, you know, all these things, we can tend to put more and more value on those things, all right? Now, but what we need to do is value people. Now, I'm going to tell you a little John story here. This is a true story, and I even have pictures to help you understand that this is a true story. A few years ago, my wife and I, as we were dropping the boys off, I think it was just Andrew at this point. Matthew wasn't at college yet. We took Andrew out, and it might have been one of those trips when we took all our kids out to Liberty, and they were all in class. So I said, Laura, I like history. Virginia's old. Let's find something in Lynchburg to go see. So we kind of got on the internet there, and we found out there was a church called the Quaker Church that was started in 1757, okay? That's before anybody in here was born. That's really true, Peyton. Before all these older people, it was before they were born. 1757, it was started there, and it was a Quaker church, and the building was still there. I thought, oh, man, that'd be kind of cool to see. So we went and found it, and I think we have some pictures here. This is not it, but the Quaker church was a little building in the courtyard of this incredible, look at that building, and that does no justice. It's called the Quaker Memorial Presbyterian Church. And this is a big Presbyterian church. Those are slate shingles on it, very steep roof. It's just beautiful, beautiful building. And we looked at that and thought, wow, man, I want to go in and see what that's like. I mean, right? Does that look, it looks pretty impressive, right? Say right. Yeah, okay, good, okay. So we thought, let's go knock on the door and see if anyone's home. So we knock on the door, and I think there's a next slide here. Click. All right, so this lady's the church secretary. Now, here's where the story kind of gets a little bit wild. Now, most of you know that I have a great friend that lives in South Dakota. He's a dentist. And Court and Rebecca, they're great friends of ours, and they moved out to South Dakota. So we're there, and we kind of tell this secretary, we have, oh, yeah, we're from Missouri, but we have friends that live in South Dakota. She goes, oh, I just moved from South Dakota. I said, really? That's crazy. We're at Rapid City. Oh, really? And she goes, yeah. I said, well, my friend, he's a dentist. He just moved out there. He's a dentist. Yeah. She goes, is his name Court Herman? I'm like, wow, this is wild. They sold their house to Court Herman and moved here to be with their grandkids. So anyway, so that was crazy. So I said, next year I'm going to sleep in your house. So anyway, but so she was a church secretary, really nice lady. And she said, hey, I said, can I have a tour of the church? Because it just looks incredible. So and as I was taking this tour, it just kind of hit me. It's just an incredible building. And I've been waiting for a chance to share this with you. And I had no idea how I was going to share this, but boy, it hits perfectly. Let's look at some of those pictures. That's the church. All right, wow. Look at that. That is their fellowship hall. Okay? I mean, huge. Look at that stone fireplace at the end, the screen, so they're, you know, and the table's all set up, and there's not a mark on any one of those tables, man. They're very Presbyterian. Okay? Chairs all match. Floor, and I took a picture of the hallway. That's the hallway. Look at that thing shine. It's kind of like my head in July. It was spotless throughout. And that, oh, ladies, look. Look at that kitchen. And there were beautiful little Christianized warning signs all over it. The Lord wants you to shut your mouth and this cabinet. You know, it was just beautiful. Right? I mean, doesn't that look nice? Huh? Anybody? Yeah. Yep. That's kitchen. You know, double stove, da-da-da, blah, blah, blah. And this is just the entryway. That little room back there, I think, Tony, that's what we want for the elders. It was a little room, had a stone wall, and that was where they had the big meetings and decided what kind of floor polish to use. All right? And the foyer, and I had some other pictures. There's the great pictures. And look at that. That's close, right? That's beautiful, you know? And stone walls, it was just beautiful. But you know what? I asked the secretary, I'm sorry, I forgot her name. I said, do you know how many people go here? She goes, oh, not that many. I said, do you go here? No, she goes, oh, no, I don't go here. Oh, really? And she, oh, no, I don't go here. I said, why not? She goes, well, really, there's probably maybe 80 to 100 people here. And it's just slowly declining. That's why they hired me to be a secretary. Now, listen, from my heart to you guys, that's an incredible building. It's beautiful. I mean, I'm sure that they hire people to make sure it stays beautiful. I'm sure they're super strict on how they handle things. But let me tell you this about that building. Ready? It's a building. And it's becoming a tomb. And it's going to become something else. Because it's very tempting when we have a lot to begin to value what we have over who is in it. When we begin to value things more than people, when we begin to value our methods more than people, when we begin to value a building. And folks, we have a great building, but you know, if we are going to town and let's say what building just looks better, that one kills us. That looks great. Their kitchen, we got a nice kitchen. But when we begin to worry about the things over the people, when we begin to do that, we die. And when I went away from there and after I looked at all those pictures, I took those pictures not for a sermon or anything. I was in awe. I mean, those are not impressive compared to being in the building. But as I began to think of that, I thought, wow, that's dangerous. Because some of the same things, sometimes we get caught up in here. Our chairs, brand new, awesome, great gift. You know what they are? They're chairs. Our tables, they're great. We sit around them. And the best thing that happens is we sit around them and we enjoy each other. Our kitchen, we might lose a spatula here and there, but big deal. It's a kitchen. All these gifts were given by God. The thing that we have to value as you look around is each other. Because see, that's the only thing that's going to last. And someone scratches our floor and we kind of yell at them and they never come back, and maybe they just end up with the eternity away from God. Is that right? So Just like we need to value our time with our families and holidays over spending money on them, we need to, at this body of Christ, value everybody that's in this building over in a building. We need to value people that are sitting around a table studying the Word of God of us, with us, over the table that we're in or the board that we're in. Just remember that. Value people. Number two, we need to value the Word of God. We need to value the Word of God. Listen, in America right now, most people do not choose their church according to what it believes. They don't. They choose it according to what kind of services they have, what kind of music, how long the services is, what kind of programs they have for my kids, what kind of programs they have for the adults. Do they do what I want? Most people in America, in our churches, don't have a knowledge of the Word of God. We do not value it. Just like in holidays, we have taken it Thursday, and I'm not going to preach against Black Friday. I'm not going to preach against football. I'm not preaching against the materialism at Christmas. I'm not saying that. But do we remember the source of what those things are about? And I want to ask you, do you remember the source of your salvation? Listen, we have to be about the Word of God. Because we can market the church. We can do the songs. We try. And I know Jessica, probably the hardest things that she deals with is not what should we sing to praise God, but how do I make everybody happy? I'm going to speak for you. You can, it's at the end, you can just say whatever you want to say. She hasn't told me to say that. You don't even know. I don't even know what I'm going to say next. But anyway, but there's a great fear I have in our culture as a whole, that not the great fear is not, are we just distorting the holidays? We're distorting what the church is. And I think the reason we distort what the church is, because many of us don't have a knowledge what the Word of God tells us what the church is. Church of God is a group of people in this room. Church of God is us. And the only reason we're here gathered here together today is to encourage one another, to inspire one another, to grab someone and pull them up and say, hey, I'm going to walk through this with you. Because there's people going through stuff in this room. And they got to know, they got to keep focused. And that's what the Word of God says. And that's why we're going to preach the Word of God. That's why we're going to teach it. That's why we're going to get excited. That's why we're going to spend time in it. And it isn't all going to be just all, you got to have a foundation, and building a foundation's tough. Especially if we've gone generation, we've gone at least two generations now where the Word of God is being devalued among God's people. And the whole Old Covenant, the nation of Israel, when they quit knowing the Word of God is when things got bad. And I'm not talking about our nation, but I'm talking about believers in Jesus Christ don't even know the Word of God. They don't even know what to believe about Jesus. So they fall for whatever is taught. Listen, we got to be people of the Word. That's why you've got to be in the Word of God. That's why just coming here, sitting here for an hour on Sunday isn't going to get it. You have to be in Bible study groups. You have to be. Listen, you got to be in a growth group. Listen, we could do all this other stuff, but if you don't have people walking through life with you, if you don't have people coming alongside of you, if you're not sitting in some place where you know these people are going to pray for you, they're not going to gossip about you, they're going to help carry you through this, you're not going to make it. That's why God designed the church. You know, kind of as a joke, when we did the sign up over there, I put my son, Matthew, I always have him sign up for everything. Matthew's been signing up for every event we've ever had since he's 6 years old, whether he knows it or not. So Matthew's at the top of the list. You look for the list out there. It says, Matthew, I will attend, host, and lead a small group. And it has his phone number. You text him and say, thanks, Matthew. And he'll get real confused, all right? But listen, we are going to kick those off in January. And people ask what we're going to study. Here's what we're going to do. And we're going to try it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. What we're going to do is we're going to take, I'm going to create some questions from the sermon that you're going to discuss with one another. And some passages to go a little bit deeper. Because one of the things that I fear every Sunday is that I'll put work into a sermon. I'll try to do a good job in doing that and presenting that. And then it won't be something relevant or something that applies to your life. So the best thing you can do is maybe take it a little step deeper with 5 or 6 or 10 friends of yours. are people that are going to be your friends? And how do we apply this? How do I make sense of this rather than, oh, that was good. He had a good joke. It was a great beginning, kind of filtered through the end, but he brought it back with a super illustration at the end. You know, that's not what preaching a sermon is about. That's not why you're hearing the word of God. It's to take a little bit deeper. And I'm telling you, you need to be involved in there. Some people say, well, you know, I go Wednesday night and I come to Sunday school and I'm here at church and I serve in this program or this event and that. That's good. Listen, when you come Wednesday night or maybe Sunday morning to Sunday school, I like to call it 70-30. 70% of that is discipleship and Bible learning. 30% of it is fellowship, you know. In the guys' class, we do the highs. At least it's a little bit of fellowship. The growth group really isn't just another Bible study. Hear that? It's not a Bible study. It's time to get together. Yeah, you're going to maybe talk a few questions about the sermon and pray for one another. It's about prayer and getting to know each other. Because I bet, just being the preacher here, I know more about some people that you have attended church with for 50 years. Okay? Because we don't stop to get to know each other. And that's what the growth group is, and it's going to give you someone to go through life with to carry you through that. So that's why it's important. But we have to value the Word of God. And then the last one this morning, this one's real quick. The last thing we need to value this morning is click. Is it there? Value each other. Because listen, I know a lot of churches and a lot of preachers, and I can fall into that trap where thinking, boy, what's it going to look like here? Who's our next generation of leaders? Who's out there that we need to get into here? Or some of us might say, man, I remember when they used to come to church all the time. Man, wasn't it great when they were elders? Or wasn't it great when he was the preacher? Or wasn't it great when we had more people? And, you know, and we can linger over what Sullivan Christian Church used to be. Or we can sit here and we can long for what we want it to be, and there's nothing wrong with that. But here's the fact. We're at war, and this is your army. Look around. This is who God's got here. So we need to enjoy that. We need to love one another. We need to value each other. I shouldn't be all anxious about all who I want here if I'm not shepherding the people that are here, right? And if we're always thinking about the way it used to be, guess what? We're going to miss the boat here. You know, some people have missed their 40s because they were longing to be old, or they were mad because they aren't, you know, they aren't 30. Let's not do that. Right here, you look around. God has brought together, I am convinced, an incredible group of people for incredible things. God is doing incredible things through our church. This is, you know, we don't know even who this shoebox is going to go to. We have no idea. You heard a testimony a few weeks ago how it changed the man's life, how a young man planted 12 churches, and now he's going to school in America, and he's planning on going back. We don't know. The missionaries, the teams we've sent out to Diamond Willow, to Uganda, to different places, the guys that we've got together, we went down and helped people and got to pray for people and bless people's lives. God's doing some great things. When he said, well, it was only our kids. What? They're our kids. And we're blessing their life. They're learning the word of God. There's some incredible things happening in this church that are going to change eternities, are going to transform a culture. So listen, we need to value each other. We need to make sure that we value people, we value the word of God, and we value each other who's here. Amen? So that will make the most out of church. All right? That's all I have today. We're going to sing a song, right? We're going to praise God here. I think this one we might know. What's the name of this song? Blessed Assurance. Anyone ever hear that song? All right, good deal. Let's stand. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God lets us be, you know, we must have the proper values if we're the people of God. And there's two things I ask of you. Here is it. Now, I know you're standing and you're gathering. Listen, right here. Last thing. My number one challenge is for you, even while we're singing this song, is ask God to speak to you. Ask God to speak to you. To let him help guide your values. To maybe reorient the things that need to be done. Number two, I want to ask you to seriously consider sacrificing the time to be a part of a growth group. There are nights, and it happens all the times at our houses. This is my last great kicker illustration, okay? There are times that my wife and I are kind of wore out. And we're like, oh man, it's going to be good to have a night alone. And you know what happens? Someone calls or something happens. And we're like, we do it out of obedience. And we've always, always have come back and said, what a blessing. What a blessing that we had a little coffee and we sit down and people came over and talked, or we had to drive here or do that. It is incredible. I told the Sunday school class this morning, I do more ministry by mistake than I do on purpose. You know, and that's the way God works when you open yourself up to him. So I'm telling you, yeah, it's going to sacrifice a few things, but think of the trade-off. You will never, never regret getting people involved in your life and being involved in other people's lives. It's much better than even TV show or night alone with popcorn and all that kind of stuff. The blessing of doing this. So I just want to challenge you to think about that. To sacrifice, make a commitment. Hey, we're going to do it this year and see what happens and see how God moves in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. I thank you for the blessing of being your child. I thank you for bringing me here at this time with these people. Father, I thank you for my family here. I thank you for the blessing they are in my life, to Laura's life and to Andrew and Matthew's life. Father, I thank you for the way that you have moved to bring each one of us here this morning. I know there are people here today hurting. Father, the answer isn't just in self-will. The answer isn't just in forgetting about stuff. The answer is bringing it all to you and surrendering it all to you. Father, I pray this week there would be sincere prayers about what's important. That we would value your word. We would value people. We would value one another. Father, I pray that people would just take a step of faith to grow deeper in relationship with you, to grow deeper in relationship with others. And Father, would make a commitment to be part of a growth group this year and see you move in their life like never before. We thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for the assurance we have because of him. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.